not confident in that lawnmower doing much. Sounds like a boat that runs on bubbles.
Welcome to another episode of Football is Wife, for all things watercraft that you could ever hope for with your women's sports coverage. Hello, I'm Leslie Ryder.
Hello.
I'm here with my wife, Emily Anderson. Say hi to the people, Emily.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I started saying Emily, but that's weird. It's weird to call you by your name. And then I was just went with
my name.
No, I can't call you by your full name. That's weird to me.
No, I was referencing the very gay movie Call Me by Your Name.
Oh, I never saw it.
That's we don't have time for that today. But gruel and hello, people. It is I. And boy, am I on one today.
Are we allowed to talk about your
If you listen to the podcast, you get to know by now. I was debating posting it today or tomorrow, so by the time this is out and anyone listens to it, it'll be right around the corner. Yeah, I'm jobless right now in a good choice. Yeah. I finished one job. I'm starting a new job in a few weeks. So my schedule is wrong. Bad.
Wide open, though.
Super open. I have time for things. Did I research for this pod? No, of course not. Have I been paying more attention, though, than usual? Yes, because the fun thing about ending a job is that eventually they stop giving you new things to do. So I've been out of, like, new things to do for a while. Which is great.
Yeah, the good thing about moving on from a job is that they can't really come to you with problems when you're in your last week, because what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't stop them, and I very much expect my former boss to call me at some point next week, but he's allowed to. Anyone else, I might give a hard time, but he's allowed to.
Hooray for new jobs.
New jobs.
Hooray. I'm happy for you. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, guess what? It's in sports.
Oh.
I get to be a woman in sports.
A woman in sports? How does it feel?
I don't know yet because I'm not there. Technically, right now, I'm just like on deck to be a woman in sports.
Gotcha. So you haven't shattered the glass ceiling yet. You're just kind of waiting to
I'm in start. The elevator in like the end of Willy Wonka when it goes up and then it's going to keep going. But we're not quite at the ceiling yet.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You've I'm won. Sure.
It takes a while. Yeah.
Charlie Bucket, you've won. But first, get inside my weird machine.
Yeah, exactly. It goes up ways and down ways and sideways and slant ways. Yeah.
It's a great glass elevator.
It is. Ah, man. All right. How are you doing? How's life? Tell me everything. Like, I don't live with you.
Yeah, no, I'm very cold and I don't appreciate it because it is April. We had our spring of deception in mid-March, and it was nice. It was very nice, and then it got cold again, and yesterday we got snow.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I'm over it. I'm over it.
Yeah. I really thought we were gonna, like, eke into, you know, 40s to 50s. I don't need us to jump too far ahead.
No.
But I thought we were gonna get out of snow.
Yeah, just get me out of the gloomy place. That's the thing that I really dislike about Midwest winters, not necessarily the cold, because it wasn't really that cold, and not the snow, because it wasn't snowy, but just the gloomy, wet, cold that just, like, chills into your bones, much like the cold we had at the Chicago Red Stars home opener.
Nice transition. What a play.
Thank you.
Boy, was that game cold. I think we're still recovering from that.
The good news for that day was it was a gorgeous sunny day. It was just freezing in the press box because we're in the shade and you get the wind up there and good gravy. Layers on layers and still not enough.
Still not enough. There aren't really enough layers for that. Eventually it gets through them. It was at least dry that day, which good. We cannot say for
good
today.
Good Lord.
But yeah, it was quite cold. Did not appreciate.
And that's what we get for starting in March, which, you know, you have to start the season eventually, but if they could have just scheduled it for the warm days in March, that would have been appreciated. I would like that sort of outlook and vision when creating the schedule.
You know what? You're lucky you even have a schedule. You expect them to know when the Chicago nice days are? Listen, I'm all for giving the front office and like the head of the NWSL, the entity that is the NWSL, a hard time about schedules. But like, I'm not going to ask them to know when the nice days in Chicago are.
To be fair, I don't think anyone knows. No one can ever plan it.
No one knows. That's what I'm saying.
But it will be what we get into. The Chicago Red Stars are back, and we're back,
baby.
We will discuss just kind of a little check-in on the NWSL now that we're in the first international break. The youths, the VAR, the injuries, which suck, and we'll have some feelings about that later. The She Believes roster, because she believes it's time for another tournament. And, of course, we will now finish with some mandatory fun. We're having fun on this podcast.
Damn it.
Fun. Look
you
happy.
Hear that? I don't work in sports. I'm fun in sports.
I'm fun.
I fun in sports. She's scary, guys. Guys, she's scaring me. If she keeps saying fun like that, I might need help. I'll let you know.
This is the voice I use when my rowdy son dog is going after things. He's not supposed to go into, but that's
like you know, your coffee. That's like his my favorite coffee. Thing right now. He's what? Trying to drink your coffee.
Every morning he wants my coffee and I don't understand why.
He doesn't want my coffee.
Doesn't want yours. He wants mine. I'm just putting plain milk in there now. I thought maybe that would deter him. No. Still gonna drink my coffee, which is not what I want in the morning. Sarah Spain, we need to have a talk about this.
This is what happens when you live with a man, I guess.
He just takes your coffee.
He's just entitled. I don't know.
This is what we get.
All right, so what are we going to talk about first?
I think we just go with the top of the table, Red Star. Sorry, second on the table, but I don't know, the highest they've ever been in April.
Yeah, that's nice. I like these Red Stars.
I do too.
They're fun.
It's different. It is different. And it's amazing what happens when you have just a coach and a GM and an owner who is not a steaming pile of burning trash. Amazingly, when you focus on making a nice club that people want to work for and play for every day, it makes the soccer better. That's who could have guessed this?
Who would have thought? I'm just going to dip into capitalism for a minute. That when you invest money into the thing, the business, and try to make that better, the product you produce is better. People are happier at work. That capitalists would say I'm wrong. I think. I don't know. But I know that it's working in Chicago, and it's so nice to see. I feel like we talked about it last time, but like,
it keeps happening, so we'll keep talking about it.
Yeah, it's just, I didn't know that we'd be able to see and like feel the difference in just in terms of people's like energy and conversations, and like, yeah, just the energy around the club is different, and it feels so nice and refreshing. Mm-hmm. It's like a breath of fresh air, if you will. Yeah, it's lovely. And, now they've won two games, tied one,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that right?
The tie game last weekend they had their first come from behind, got down a goal early, and wouldn't you know it, Mel Swanson scores her first goal of the season, and that's just,
speaking of things that are nice to see.
Oh, it's so lovely, and she's the fifth goal scorer for the team so far, which is awesome. I love a spreading the wealth of scoring goals, but I think that maybe took some pressure off and let her kind of grow into her fitness and whatnot. But yeah, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it probably took some of the pressure off. It's nice to know, like, she doesn't have to carry the team by any means. And we've got plenty of folks who want to put the ball in the back of the net, which is nice. And I expect we'll keep seeing more from her. So
yeah, and we're...
Everyone, or not, whatever you want, Mel. On your timeline.
Just feels really lucky that we have Mel Swanson from the beginning of the season putting in like 80-90 minutes. Coach Lauren Donaldson was like, I didn't expect to have her. And
for the first seven games of the season,
for like the first six or seven games. And he was like, oh, well, this is nice.
Yeah. And so like she has not reached her final form yet.
Absolutely not.
It's just, it's so exciting.
Yeah. They're still like figuring each other out. And like, you see like some of the runs are like a little bit clumsy where folks are kind of getting in each other's way a little bit, but they'll iron it out. I have high hopes for this team, and
she's got high hopes. She's got, what is that song from?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with the song.
Someone knows it. Jackie will know it. If I can count on anyone, it's Jackie to know.
Which primetime family sitcom is this?
No, song from? This is from like, yeah, like you're a kid in preschool.
Mm.
High apple pie in the sky. Hopes. Yeah, it's one of those. Anyway, it's nice here in Chicago, except for the weather. Everything else is great.
Yeah, get with it, weather. Let's have nice, enjoyable days for Chicago Red Stars soccer. I wasn't expecting this. I felt like I was so just measured, because a rebuilding year, you don't think they're gonna.
But it's not a rebuilding year.
It's not a rebuild. It's a renaissance.
I love it. I love it. I need you to do a whole interview with that man in that accent.
Absolutely not.
I know. Which is fine. But it still can be what I hope for.
So yes, I too can speak French. Oh, really? No. No, I can't. I did Duolingo 5 years ago.
Yep. She ordered a croissant in a little cafe or bakery, and she did great. That was it. We called that a win.
Yeah, that's all I needed, really. I just needed a French person to be nice to me, I think was all I needed out of that.
Yeah, I think that's possible. We can find them. They do exist.
They do exist. Speaking of things that are not nice, VAR is bringing the main character energy. Three matches in. The highs, I will say, is the Kansas City VAR cooler sponsored by Yeti.
I need to read that article. PJ put an article out, I think.
Yeah, PJ Green put one out on like Fox 5 Kansas City, and I gotta read it.
But my theory before reading it, I should say, I should have read it to confirm this, but is that that's the best way to keep the computer cooled.
Yeah.
And I find that funny, and yeah, it makes sense, especially if it's in the sun.
Yeah, I just don't think, I don't understand why everyone's, like, I only notice it from, like, Chicago and this Kansas City game, but, like, why are we putting the VAR thing on the other side of the field from the benches?
It's a fair question. I think it's probably on account of space, because I think it's supposed to be at the midway line, and that's where players check in for substitution, so that is already accounted for.
That's fair.
Also, I don't know about Kansas City, but in Chicago, you've got all the cameras, and so you've got tech set up already over there.
That's
probably the easiest place to plug it in. I will say also, you don't want, I don't want anyone watching me as a ref watch the VAR. Like, I always find it very funny when they go to the ref looking at the VAR and you just see the fans who are awkwardly sitting in the stands in like the first couple rows, who probably don't know how prominently they're on TV yet. I'm hoping they catch on and we get shenanigans out of it. But yeah, I feel like it should be, you know, somewhat, it either needs to be somewhat private or we need to all see it. This like half in between thing. Also, real quick, I'm getting off topic.
That's
Kansas
okay.
City, you built a whole stadium. You built a whole stadium. Did you just forget a little VAR booth?
Just like not even a booth. Like just give me a little table. Like nope, best I can do. Best I can do.
Get best one of those I can do. You take to the beach. That's like a pop up laundry hamper from college. Essentially,
absolutely
one
not.
Of those things? No.
This okay. is the Midwest. We're gonna put it in a cooler in the first row of some seats.
You know where I thought I would see a big like Yeti cooler integration with the NWSL was not in VAR. It was with Laura Harvey.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I still think that's a missed opportunity, but. Yeah, here we are. And I need someone at Kansas City to answer this. PJ, I'm sorry. I should have read this ahead of time. And now that's all I want to do. Can we pause the podcast so I can read this? I'm kidding. But I bet it answers all these questions. Go read PJ's article, guys.
The VAR has been adding the VAR has been adding several minutes to the end of each half for not really a good reason. Like, I feel like VAR, now that we have VAR, it's just like kind of seeking out things of, well, let's see if there was a buildup, a foul in the buildup of the play. And then they look at the someone who is not in the stadium, visible at least, is looking on screen and everyone's just kind of standing around and wondering what to do, and then 6 minutes later the referee walks over and looks at it on a screen. Like, I feel like there's some streamlining that can be done
of that process.
Yeah,
as a person who has worked in operations for too long, yes there is. I have so many notes. I do think we heard this echo from the masses, and I think it's fair. If you can't figure it out after a certain number of minutes, you gotta call it. You gotta walk away. It's ruining the flow of the game, and it's adding so much time onto the end. It really shifts your momentum in terms of where you're putting your minutes in.
Yeah, and I think about just like other sports that have replay, like baseball, I feel like does this pretty efficiently. Hockey less so. I think they also suffer from the same thing that soccer does, where it's like, does it look worse because it's going fast? And I think those factors kind of play into it. But yeah, I don't know. I think they got to set a timer. And
I feel like rugby must have an answer to this, because officiating in rugby in terms of large field sports is very good. It pretty dang efficient. So I imagine we should look to them for an answer. I also think if we've paused the game and VAR is looking at something, why is the ref not on their way over to the screen? Why are we waiting until the ref goes, oh, yep, we should go to jog over?
Yeah.
You're usually supposed to, you know, be the one managing the players on the field and keep, can't like one of the sideline refs, like one of the ARs should be able to handle that in the time being. And then, yeah, center ref needs to make their way over there a little faster.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, the process is just slow. You look at, like, the Premier League, they'll, you know, do the check after a goal for an offside or something else during the play. And, it, like, the VAR ref is pretty efficient. Like, they usually have an answer within, like, 30 seconds of have a look at it or... And VAR has ruled it a goal. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, someone's got to tighten up here.
I think we need to put an Apple Vision Pro on the ref so they can actually pull it up and watch it on the field. Honestly, that AR, I think, does play a part in the future of refereeing. Not yet, because I think they'd all get hit in the face and something would break, and that's already a problem. Baseball, again, is where I go back to. We don't need human eyes calling balls and strikes at this point. I think there are needs for human refs. I don't think that's the need. We've got to figure something out, and we've had it long enough that this process should be better. It feels like it got worse.
Yeah.
I don't know why
part
is.
But yeah, it feels like we're just kind of looking for stuff and nitpicking, but We've gone on a quest for the perfectly officiated game, and we've made a mess.
We've gotten so much farther away. So much farther away. Because the whole point of good officiating is to not notice the officiating, to not call attention to it. It should not be a talking point. And what are we doing? We're talking a lot about VAR right now.
Boy, howdy.
Yep. You love that phrase. When did you pick that phrase up?
I don't know. I don't know what I was watching where... I do think it's a fun expression, though.
It is. I don't disagree. I just find it funny because I'm like, you're from New York. You don't say howdy. Where did this come from?
Well, the howdy in general comes from Toy Story when the shark comes out of the toy chest with Woody's hat on and he goes, look, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. That's just how my love for that came about.
Well, that's fair. That's entirely fair. I mean, I say y'all, and I didn't say y'all growing up. Like, it wasn't that, we're not that Southern in Indiana. But Indiana does give me a license to get away with some, like, Southernisms, and that's what I pick.
You grew up in a rural area. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, we didn't have sidewalks, if that tells you anything. So... you know, if you wanted to go for a run for training, have fun. Just keep an ear out for cars.
And I lived my childhood hearing footsteps above me from the apartment atop.
And here we live in Chicago. Met in the middle. Mm-hmm. All right. Do we have anything else to say about VAR?
No, we don't. We're gonna move on to something else that we're gonna yell at. Injuries. They suck. Ooh. There's been too many of them.
I'm just tired of talking about them, if I'm being honest.
Well, part of the thing with having these games that go on for 115 minutes you get some extra wear and tear, and that gives you things like Achilles ruptures and ACL tears and ruptured patellas in the first 3 weeks. So, I don't know if this is, I mean, it's probably just a matter of funds not going to the right places, but we have many studies that have showed us things about why women are more likely to suffer these injuries and why like anatomical differences and exercises can all factor into it. And I feel like we've come up with, an answer that's mostly just like, I don't know, eat your greens and you'll be healthier.
Make sure you stretch good.
Yeah, just do good stretches and exercises and you might be better.
Yeah, I don't think we've figured out what the solution is yet. And there's a lot of conversation, especially after Midge's injury, because... mm-hmm. I think we're all just pissed for her, to be honest. Heartbroken and angry at the same time. The piece that is frustrating, people being like, well, we've done research. And it's like, okay, yes, we've done research on causes, on frequency, on things like that. We also need to then move into a phase of research on solutions. Because the first thing we try isn't necessarily going to fix it.
Sure.
And those take time and money. We know money often doesn't go where it's supposed to in women's football, in women's sports in general. And I think the frequency is also increasing, or at least getting louder, because these players are playing more games. They're playing more games. the league continues to get more and more competitive and more aggressive, and that should be enabled. That should be allowed. Like, how many games a year do the men play in the Premier League? Women should at least be able to play as many, but I have a feeling, which is not science, by the way, that the frequency of play, the just number of minutes over the years, and the rapid increase of that for women's players has, made this occurrence much more often. That was a bad sentence, but here we are. I got the point across. We're here.
You did.
And so I think it might take a minute until players' bodies are used to playing this kind of schedule, where we've got a league, we've got a major tournament, be it the World Cup or the Olympics, we've got other, you know, cups, she believes, whatever, popping up, that they are just getting so many more reps. The demand from viewers is increasing for the product that is women's football. And so they haven't been prepping for this for the last 10 years. Players have not been playing this volume of games for the last, you know, decade or whatever. And so it's going to take a minute, even once we have the science figured out, to implement that and have it ready for players who are primed to play this kind of schedule. It is kind of my one hiccup, my hesitation of things like She Believes, of the Liga MX Femenil tournament. I forget what we're calling that. But maybe the first thing we need isn't more tournaments, isn't more games. It's rest, it's healthcare, it's support in that regard. I don't know how you balance that, and it's also not my job to balance that. But I do hope it's something that leagues and front offices are looking into, of how do we protect our players? And honestly, from a business perspective, you need to protect your investment in these players. I think it's a good business decision to keep people healthy. You would think. And so I hope someone's looking into this. I'm sure people are, and they're working on it. I wish it was louder. I wish we could accelerate it in some way. But fun fact, science takes time. Takes time. And that sucks for all of us. But it sucks most of all for Midge Purse. I'd also like to note there are millions of Midge Purses that came before Midge Purse. There are so many college players, so many national team level players from the 80s, 90s, you know, however many decades before that, that didn't even have a chance at rehabbing. Once you tore your ACL, you were done. You were done playing forever.
Which is wild. So
the fact that now you can rehab in a year and get back is still crazy. But what if, a concept, we didn't have to rehab at all? What if we just weren't getting injured like this? We got to figure it out. So, science people, do your thing. I'll give you $10 because that's all the money I have right now. My wife is secretly panicking about our finances as I say that. We have more than $10, don't worry. But I will, honestly, like, if we can be loud about someone needing funding for research,
yeah,
I will be loud about it. And I love that. Lots of other folks will too. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love the science to get on board, and whatever wheels need to be greased to make that happen, whether it's the purse strings or the approval processes, it's,
I'll donate my ACL.
Someone
made a comment about, like, one person heals, like, when one person gets injured, another person heals. And I was like, if that was the case, I will be out there tearing mine now to get someone else back. Like, I'll do it. I don't need them.
Let me contribute to the circle of life.
Exactly.
Speaking of the circle of life, we've got some youths who are quite good. Who are already showing their stuff at the league level. Allie Sentner for Utah comes to mind, who just kind of came out from the first game against Chicago and could have had, like, two goals, but Alyssa Nair was on one. But she's been teeing
sorry
off.
Not sorry.
Yes, sorry not sorry. Qua Bethune in DC, Angel City just keeps signing teenagers. I just kind of going off of that whole conversation about injuries on the rise and stuff. I don't want to like say I'm concerned about the number of young players getting signed, but I'm excited. I think it's cool that there's this opportunity to go pro from a young age. I just worry a little bit.
I think that's reasonable. I am also worried a bit. I just talked a lot about ACLs. Do you want to talk about what worries you? And then you want to take turns? Because sharing is caring. And
I think you have a league that is finding their way back and figuring out how to treat players. So like there's that component to it. There's the physical component of now you have these teenagers who are coming to the league and who are not fully physically developed. And so I don't really know what the standards and practices are for trying to keep someone who's like high school aged healthy and in a rotation. I don't want anyone getting hurt. And I think it's a good thing that if you are wildly talented from a young age that you can have this opportunity to play professionally. I just want to make sure they have everything they need to be happy and healthy at the pro level.
Well said. Yeah, this is a league that was not good at taking care of players.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. Yeah, exactly. Like a couple of years, arguably a year ago, arguably still, maybe we haven't gotten the hang of it. Obviously there's still going to be hiccups.
Yeah. And there are much more protections in place now than there were 3 years ago. But as you take on these new steps, you know, you're not going to be able to anticipate everything. So, like, there's going to be something that comes up that will kind of make us all go, well, shit. And
yeah,
we'll have to write that one down.
Yeah. And that's the thing for me of maybe because we're just getting the hang of looking out for players, we take these steps a little slowly. That's what mostly concerns me about the volume of young players coming in.
Yeah.
That's a quick acceleration. We went from Olivia Moultrie coming in at 16, I think.
15.
To now we've got four. There's a big difference between a 14-year-old and an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
There is a, I mean, look at a high school freshman on a team, look at a high school senior on a team, just physically, let alone mentally. Are we doing all the things needed to take care of these players mentally and emotionally? And are we considering the fact that the same person for the job of taking care of a 24-year-old, 25-year-old seasoned midfielder is not the same as taking care of a 15-year-old who just got here, is bright-eyed and excited to buckle down to have that balance in their life? Yeah, it makes me very nervous. And I would love to have those nerves assuaged and to have nothing to be worried about. But I'm going to keep being worried about until maybe we know a bit more, until we have some proven processes in place. And until I can be confident, I think that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, and I also, even like with all that, and you know, we don't have anything to suggest that anything malevolent is happening. We've just
been on this ride before.
This is just two very concerned gays who want to make sure everyone's okay.
This is your aunt lesbian saying,
yeah, just be careful.
Okay? Yep.
But
choices.
If I'm looking at it from like a roster construction standpoint, I feel like I would want my roster to be a little more balanced by age of like, I don't want it to be a bunch of teenagers and a bunch
and of... And Christine Sinclair?
Yeah. And, you know, players that are my age. I don't know if that's the best way to construct a roster. And this will be my segue into the She Believes Cup roster because of kind of what they're doing. Yeah, save us, because
I could stay here all day.
The She Believes Cup roster has like 3-4 teenagers on it, and as the Twitter jokes have been going, 10 lesbians and Alex Morgan. It's just a where's my middle-aged gals at?
Well, so we kind of skipped them.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we hold on to the old players for too long. In past World Cups and past Olympics, when we don't keep that revolving door moving in terms of talent, people get skipped. People get missed and they miss out on opportunities, and that sucks. And there's not a lot to be done about it. It can change. It doesn't mean they won't get called in. I'm less concerned about roster balance for a, you know, 4-game tournament. I think that's fine. I can deal with that.
That's fair.
But I do think in terms of maturity and experience, you know, for me, the prime age of a player is like 24 to 28.
That's a shrinking population of the U.S. Women's National Team.
Absolutely it is. And I don't know what you do about that. And that might just be a hit we take. And I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also not my decision.
It's got to be a weird balance because it's like you do have all of these talented teenagers who are absolutely tearing it up here and abroad. But then you have like, and we're also getting Kat Macario back, we're getting Mel Swanson back.
Mel Swanson might be a prime example of that class that we're missing right now.
If I think about the players who are like of her age group, it's like Tierna Davidson, Lindsey Horan, probably.
Sonnet?
Sonnet's older.
Sonnet, how old are you?
I think she falls in the older class. Maybe the younger Mewis, who we lost to retirement. Rose Lavelle. Did I say her name already?
No, you didn't.
I feel like you kind of want the heart of your lineup to be that like area of expertise of we've had some international play, we've accomplished some things, but now it's like we have the very old, we have the middle, and then we have the very young.
Yeah. I miss the middle. You're right. Sonnet's 30, Pew's 25. Which is wild in my brain, but makes sense. But Mal started when she was so young.
Yeah.
That's
how you get Mal Swanson. It's weird. Like, we kind of ignored the youth for a while, and now we have a lot of them.
Yeah, now we have a ton, an influx, and balancing that back out is going to be tough. And I think we'll pay for it in one way or another.
Thanks, Carly.
Yeah, I don't put that on Carly, if I'm being honest. Carly doesn't make the roster. I don't like her. She hung around too long, don't get me wrong. But
I do feel like, though,
I put it on Jill and Vlatko and the Federation.
Sure. But I do think that's why we have like 1-game send-offs now instead of a 4-6 game send-off tour. Yeah.
Yeah, that was stupid. I'm not going to get sucked into Carly Lloyd discourse today, wife. Not today. My free time between jobs is precious, and I will not waste it there. No, I will not. No.
She will not be pulled into a discourse. No. So instead, I'm going to send her to another one. Now that we are into April, we have the NCAA Final Four coming up this weekend.
It's happening.
And wouldn't you know it, the men have discovered women's basketball.
Kill me now. I know we've been wanting women's sports to get the attention, but it's also like, no, not like this.
No, not you.
No, go away. Here's the thing, and I think we're gonna get there. You know, I'm gonna use some of your notes and cover those. Like, sure. Ratings are up, ticket sales are up, all great. Love that. We're Basic. Getting money. Women are the star of the show this year. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
My problem is that men think, because they've never heard of a player or something before, that it never existed. They think this is the first time women's basketball has been good.
You know, and no, because I love basketball. And if I had heard of somebody else, I totally would have watched. No, you wouldn't have. You would have been commenting. No,
you wouldn't have, you misogynist motherfucker. You're only here because your bro said, nah, this girl's actually really good.
And then you were like, nah, like, I don't think so.
Okay. It kills me. The fact, though, the denial of, well, why didn't I hear about her? It's like, because you weren't paying attention. You weren't listening. You weren't involved. It's like, I want to go up to them and be like, do you know who the top 5 makeup YouTubers are? And they'd be like, no, why would I know that? I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. That's why you don't know about past WNBA players. You weren't paying attention. You were not tuned in. There are so many pockets of the internet now, and like subcultures that people don't pay attention to, that this point is really easy to make. But also, like, I wish every man would realize that just because they weren't aware of something does not mean it ceased to exist before they wandered into the room and looked around.
No, but it's sports. I gotta know about the sports because I'm a guy.
Okay, do you know the top 5 bobsled racers in the country? Yeah, exactly. You don't know everything. Shut up.
Well, if bobsled was good, I would hear about it. I would say my favorite reaction, my favorite measured reaction to this is Erica Ayala, who was just like, yeah, it's okay. You didn't know. Now you know. You don't have to be a butt about it. That's me, not her, saying that they don't have to be a butt about it, because she is the goat. But it's like, guys aren't giving themselves permission to have not known about this, even though it's been happening for decades. And now that they know something, it's kind of like, nope, this is the one. This is the one. I know this one, so this is the best one.
It's the best one there's ever been. No one's ever been good before, let alone this good.
I will say that we're gonna start seeing some blowback, I think, with like the WNBA draft and all that. Like, we're just, because of something being so underinvested for so long, now we only have 12 WNBA teams. We have 144 spots for players, and it is absurdly competitive. You have first round draft picks from 2-3 years ago who aren't in the league anymore. And so
Kathy.
I think the CBA gets renewed in a year or two. I remember it's 2025 or 2024, but I think there's some stuff in there that now the players have so much more bargaining power with all of the eyes that are on women's basketball to be like, hey, let's have expanded rosters. Let's have expanded teams. Let's grow this family, because every season
it's too small.
Every season you see all of the gymnastics that GMs have to do to try to keep their roster intact and like under the salary cap, and do like, I gotta waive this player, but then I can sign her 2 days later. Let's take that out of the equation. Let's just make really good basketball teams, because it's clearly obvious that there is a lot of talent out there.
And demand for it. And I do love that, yeah, we've got this tidal wave of attention coming in, to your point. Yeah, it's going to cause problems along the way. The league is not ready for this much attention.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been asking the expansion when question for how many years now?
Long time.
Kathy, Ms. Engelbert, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Kathy. I'm going to start imagining Kathy as like Kathy the cartoon. And so every time we go, Kathy, when are we getting new teams? She just goes, ack! It just makes me think of Andy Samberg's Kathy on a good time. Yeah, I hope it forces the issue. And on the like roster size note, you think the women's soccer injury issues aren't coming to basketball? They're coming.
I mean, they already have.
They already
been.
Have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw it a couple of years ago with like Stewie tearing her Achilles. It was just like, oh, wow. Oh,
God, Achilles upset me so bad. I feel like I just have like a visceral reaction to those every time. It's not good. Yeah. Like we gotta figure out a way to let it grow because right now it feels very constrained and unnecessarily, and I don't know.
Yeah, and I think a great first step to that would be just, you know, ESPN holds a lot of the rights for WNBA games. It just give me a half hour WNBA Today show instead of you know, a 2 hour radio show with some blowhard. Just give me you see what Elle Duncan and Sinead McKay and Drea Carter are doing.
They have been so good.
It's like just give them a show. I know Chene plays, but you know, you can easily find another person to fill in that
How
role.
How many
if you
sisters
have to.
Does she have?
Four,
I think. Aren't there five Agumake sisters?
I don't remember. I know. There was another a younger.
They don't all play.
One. There was one who got drafted, but now she's a doctor. She's
board too
certified.
Good for. She's too smart.
Because there aren't enough slots on the organization, she became a doctor, which is amazing. Shout out to Erica Agumake. Okay?
Yeah. It's
but
just ridiculous.
It just, we need to have a forum for a conversation to be able to have more people talking about it who know what they're talking about. Because you, this week, there's been so many, you know, talk radio guys in the morning who usually do their morning sports yelling, and now they're talking about women's basketball and they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
That's the other piece. Is I'm like, guys, it's okay to show up somewhere new and shut the fuck up. It's okay to show up and be quiet and listen. You can tell how I feel about this.
Just hire someone for the day. Just bring them in.
Yeah. Like, even if your job is talking about it, like, bring someone in who sounds smarter than you, because you look dumb. And just, yeah.
The good news is, though, we have enough of this, like, critical mass now of people watching that the critical takes are actually coming through. And it's nice to have the aftermath of a game and then hear people talking about a decision that was made. Like, everyone's talking about Kim Mulkey keeping poor Haley Van Lith on Caitlin Clark the whole game.
Poor Haley. Haley, I just want you to know that I think you're a very good basketball player, and I like you, and I'm sorry that Kim did that to you, because that was not fair, and I know you weren't feeling good, and you had IVs, like, that weekend, and that's, I saw a tweet that was like, she can't even breathe through her nose, and you got her guard in the park, and it's like, oh, you poor thing.
Haven't seen a basketball player that abandoned since, wasn't there an NBA guy who went on Survivor?
I think there have been a couple.
Yeah.
Wait.
Just, you haven't seen anyone stranded like
note,
that.
Side note. What professional women's athlete do you want to see on Survivor? That's a whole question of who do I want to see and who do I think could win? Because who do I want to see is Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, no, she would be a good time. I'm writing this down for our next mandatory fund, so...
Great.
Do not expound on that any further.
Great, I won't... I will note there are four Agumake sisters.
Four!
In total. There's also Olivia, who's at Rice.
Shut
and
up.
And all of them played Division I basketball.
That's a balling family.
It is. It is. It is. All right. On to today's mandatory fun, because I'm almost out of my drink and energy and yelling. What are we doing?
I don't know if you know this about the month of March and April, they have this annual tournament to find the best basketball team in the nation, and it inspires a lot of offshoots and brackets and
third month crazy time. Our friend, our friends Katie Nolan and Ashley Brayband called.
So we thought it would be fun to do coaches you would never want to disappoint bracket. We've kind of narrowed it to basketball and soccer. The seating is kind of based on vibes. But we have the basketball division. Starting with the first seed, we have the legendary Pat Summitt, rest in the most peace, of Tennessee. We have Tara Vandeveer of Stanford. We have Gino Auriemma of UConn. Dawn Staley of South Carolina, Muffet McGraw of Notre Dame, Cheryl Miller of USC, Lisa Bluter of Iowa, and coming in at the 47th seed is Kim Mulkey, who just managed to squeak in there. In the soccer region, we have Tony DeChico, rest in the most peace, Anson Dorrance, Serena Wakeman, Pia Sundahag, Casey Stoney, Emma Hayes, Lauren Donaldson, and Carmelina Moscato. And yeah, we've just got like an 8-versus-8 situation. Could probably keep going, but my wife's attention span is not that long.
So. I took my meds today. I don't know what you're talking about.
just trying to make
I might be off work, but I'm not off my meds. yeah, that's true.
So we have our separate regions, we have our basketball, we have our soccer. Just kind of draw this in your mind, wife, of the basketball on one side and the soccer on the other.
As long as you can walk me through it matchup by matchup, we're good.
And then they'll meet in the middle. So starting on the basketball side, we have number one, Pat Summitt, against number eight, plus 40, Kim Mulkey. And this one's pretty easy for me.
This is a stroll in the park.
This is chalk in the chalkiest of ways. I disappoint Kim Mulkey daily just by my existence, and I do not fear it.
Yeah, I'm excited to disappoint Kim Mulkey. She's having a bad day, I'm having a good day. So on that note.
Pat Summitt advances.
Pat Summitt advances easily. Also, credit to Pat Summitt. That woman could have given me a disappointed look that would break my soul. I will expound upon it in future rounds, but she is a domineering woman who I fear a little bit in a respectful way.
She's got a big lady energy.
Big lady energy. God, you know I love big lady energy.
And that's why she married me.
We're all being honest.
Going into our next matchup, we have Tara Vandeveer of Stanford against Lisa Bluter of Iowa. This one just aesthetically is tricky for me because they both kind of give that like stern but fair librarian look about them. Tara, of course, has 3 championships, is the all-time winningest Division I coach. Lise Bluter has been storming into the top of the table for these past couple of years with Caitlin Clark under her belt. That didn't sound right. But
that's fine.
Her
tutelage.
Let's say tutelage. I like that word better. Thank you.
Especially when it goes with Bluter.
Bluter tutelage.
I'm just looking at some stats here real quick. Okay. I think I know where I land, but it's tough.
I think there's a very similar aesthetic of power suit from the 90s that they both, fill. And I think on pedigree alone, I have to go with Tara Vandeveer. But I look forward to seeing Lisa Bluter perform in future seasons.
Yeah, I think I am gonna have to agree. Here's what the couple of things that are going for it that bother me or that I'm having issues with is mm-hmm. that like the first picture when you Google Lisa Bluder is her looking directly to camera, and she looks disappointed in me. And it hurts my soul a little bit.
That's tough.
That's a mom's mad or my teacher's mad. And oh, that hits my goody two shoes spot real hard. But I've also seen her on the court. And it, like, I'm seeing a picture of her smile. She's got a nice smile. I think she's got a little softness still. She is 6'2", 6'3". She's 6'3". And for a short kid like me, that's scary more than anything. Now, if we go over to Tara. Tara went to seminary. Coach Vandeveer, 5'8", still much taller than me, but went to seminary. And that hits a guilty Catholic Emily in a way that is a unique kind of fear, because there's like a moral something there. She also played at Indiana, so like I would want her to be proud of me. She is the winningest coach, and so there's an inherent respect. I think the tiebreaker is the name. Bluder is a very funny name. And unfortunately, I have a wife who says it in a very funny way every time it's on the broadcast. So I gotta go with Tara Vandeveer, because she scares me a little bit. And she coaches at Stanford, so she's used to like goody two shoes, which means she would know how to handle my ass easily. Yeah.
Tara Vandeveer advancing.
Sure does.
Up next, we have one of the toughest first round matches, Gino Auriemma against Cheryl Miller.
This is easy for me. This is easy for me.
Well, I think 10 years ago this would have been harder.
No, this has never been difficult for me.
This Gino has like the most championships all time. 3 gold medals, like second on the wins list. But I think he's gotten soft in the last couple of years.
I think Paige has worn him down. And I don't think it's just Paige. I think it's Paige and company.
I do think it's just like the kids are different than what they used to be. And so I think he's probably getting like a little more pushback than he's used to. And he's like a grandfather now, and has that sweet and sensitive spot that I think. The kids truly don't care anymore, and I think that has made him a different coach. And
he's
perhaps
tired now.
Like, I wouldn't want to disappoint Coach Gino. However, Cheryl Miller is arguably one of the greatest women's basketball players of all time. One of the aforementioned people who, had she not torn her ACL, would have, like, we didn't even get to see the full potential of Cheryl Miller, and like, she was already great and is already a Hall of Famer. Plus, like, she's funny, and
that's the hard part.
That I can't disappoint a funny person. That's just, not in my constitution. I don't want to get roasted by her. I don't want to disappoint her. I don't want any of that. And Reggie Miller, shout out. I know she probably made you a better player for all of that.
For never letting you hear the end of it too. So for me, this is easy because Gino's a man. And this is bigger than this conversation, so we won't get into it. I don't care. Whatever. Gino, I cannot. You're never going to command the part of me that like desperately wants you to like me as much as Cheryl Miller.
That's fair.
And then on top of that, if I disappoint Gino, I think he's gonna not be mad. He's just disappointed. He's gonna be quiet. He's gonna be gruff. And eventually we'll work our way back. I know how to handle that. Cheryl Miller, even if I get her back on my side, will never let me hear the end of whatever I did. She will give me shit for the rest of my life about that game or that or whatever I did. Let's be honest, I'm disappointing all these people with my basketball ability.
Easily.
But like, as a human, like, if Cheryl Miller's disappointed in me, I need to then take that and go somewhere and like work through it on my own. There's no part of me that's like chirping back. It's just, oh, Cheryl isn't just giving me shit anymore.
Yeah.
She's actually disappointed. I think I'd cry, honestly. Yeah. And then I would beg for forgiveness for whatever. And to your point, yeah, she's funny. So she's gonna chide me for the rest of time, do it in a way that gets other people laughing about it, and that will hurt my soul forever. So yeah, Cheryl wins this easily. This is a walk in the park.
All right, and that takes us to Dawn Staley versus Muffet McGraw, formerly of the University of Notre Dame.
This one's also pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
I
think Muffet McGraw has a similar, kind of gives me that similar vibe of Lisa Bluter, of just like in like stern lady. Like resting stern lady face, I'm immediately put on like a little bit of fear, a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of just I don't want you to dislike me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the disappointment comes after that, but there is just very much Please don't, just don't look, don't perceive me. Don't,
Yeah, I'm in her English class and yeah. I want to know all the right answers, but I'm not raising my hand very often. I'm doing well on papers and tests. I'm not raising my hand until she makes me.
I don't want you to tell me how wrong my, opinions on, Catcher in the Rye are. I just want to survive that class.
Yeah. She also, like, working at, so this is kind of a weird counterpoint, working at Notre Dame for that long, so Catholic again.
guess which two hosts were raised Catholic.
But, like, so there's one thing on the Lisa Bluter side of going to seminary, so you've got the anchor, but then Tara went to seminary. But then coaches at a very smart school, very intellectual. Not to say Notre Dame isn't, but Notre Dame is very Catholic, loudly Catholic. Also an enemy of Michigan, longtime rival. So for me, again, I don't want, like, I'm a little suspicious of anyone who wants to associate with something that Catholic for that long.
Mm-hmm.
That's a me thing. Come for me if you will. We can have that conversation another day, but yeah. So in that note, I mean, she's up against arguably the coolest coach in women's basketball.
Arguably
right
the
now.
Coolest coach, the coach who is able to attract and retain talented players, especially now with, kind of like the transfer portal era happening of folks being able to be like, okay, this didn't work for me. She manages to keep players at South Carolina, and I think that speaks to how she runs the program. Like, people stay now where they feel wanted.
That's true. She did make a comment of, if you don't believe in God, you gotta, you like, what did she say? So I don't want to get too far into it. Anyway, I've already disappointed her, so we're there. is what I learned. And so I'm gonna, like, I do feel like I need to factor that in a little bit, but before and after that, I still really want her to like me. So
yeah, and I
feel like we could have a conversation about it.
Yeah, I think we'd be able to have a conversation about it. You know, I think about what she said as, like, someone who's not particularly religious,
But I am of the mindset of, you know, if that works for you, great. And yep. It doesn't hurt me. I'm gonna say you're good. And if that is where you find your joy and you find the things that make you happy in life, then I'll
go
all
for
more
it.
To you. Go for it.
But also don't hold me to that same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dawn wins though.
Dawn wins because I can't think of an instance where I could just be like, she's just such a player positive coach.
Yeah.
That to disappoint her for me would be devastating. Like, yep. I don't even know what it looks like to disappoint Dalton Staley, and I fear it.
Yep, exactly. Oh, I don't want to know. I don't
want to
know.
Dalton Staley advances. And so we head to the other side of the bracket, where we've got soccer. And now this list, I again say my knowledge of many soccer coaches is small, but given the reckoning that soccer's had over the last couple of years, I feel happy about being able to name eight. Although one of them on the list, I thought he might have had some stuff on him. So
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yep. But we have our first matchup is the great Tony DiTico and the young up-and-comer, Carmelina Moscato, who won, Carmelina Moscato, was she with Tigres? Yes, she won titles with Tigres in the Mexican League. But she has since taken on an assistant coach position, which I feel like she very easily could be a head coach in.
Oh, yeah.
In the MWSL. It's a matter of time, and it's, you know, a matter of organizations in the U.S. getting their heads out of their butts. But going up against one of the longest serving coaches in U.S. soccer and one of the most successful, I'd say. Yeah. I think that's a tough matchup.
It is a tough matchup. It's not really fair.
No, it's not.
If we're all being honest.
It's not. None of these matchups are fair.
But I mean, even just in terms of experience, like Carmelina has never coached a national team.
No.
That's a different job. This one's going to be a little straightforward for me, just timing, honestly.
Yeah.
Is that, I go Tony every time. He is like almost a mythic legend from my childhood. There is not a lot I could learn about him that would change my mind at this point, and I would have expected I would have learned it by now. He was a coach and mentor to my heroes. His son is a delight on the internet to interact
with. Very nice
with,
man.
And it seems to be a very nice man. And he was taken from us too soon. And so, in that, Tony wins for me. I think there is future for Coach Moscato in this bracket.
Yeah. I look forward to her future years of coaching greatness.
Yeah, but it's just not in the cards for this
right. It's a tough draw, and you know, she'll take this experience into the next round.
Yeah, exactly.
Our second matchup, another one that's just not fair. We have Anson Dorrance against Lauren Donaldson. And this is the one where I'm like, didn't Anson do something?
He's got some stuff. Yeah, I think there's some stuff at UNC that is, I don't think the full things come out, whatever it is. But there are like sexual harassment court cases from 98 that happened. There's like vulgar language and banter with play. It's just, yeah, some like stuff that makes you go like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I went to UNC soccer camp as a kid because I wanted to play where all those great players played. But for me, this is easy because having been in a room with Lauren Donaldson once, I know how I would feel if he was disappointed in me. And I don't think Lauren, or I don't think Anson has ever registered me enough, even though I have his book, I have his autograph in said book. I have a picture with him somewhere, probably at my parents' house in the basement, that I don't think I exist in his world or ever did. And I don't think I want to, from what I understand.
Yeah.
There's enough there for me to go, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. And also, Lauren just seems cool as shit. Again, from the brief interaction and the post-game stuff we've seen him in, he seems tough but fair.
Yeah.
He wants to get the best out of his players. I think he is a coach that could push me to, like, want to make him like me and, like, want to do well for him. And he is unbothered by cold weather is what we learned. So now I'm a little afraid of him because in winter, I mean, he's in the right place. But
yeah.
Lauren wins this.
I think what you get with Anson is just like the machine that is, yeah, UNC soccer. And with Coach Lauren, you get sorry, my alma mater is calling me for some reason. I think they have some sort of...
I think they probably want money.
Yeah, they probably want money from me, and they're not going to get it. Sorry, Hamilton, but there are richer people you can be calling and squeezing. Thank you.
Yep.
But back to Coach Donaldson.
We have $10. As
we have $10, and we've already committed it to ACL research, so I'm sorry.
Yep. Unless you're doing that research.
Great. The sense I get from the team, the players, is that they feel energized by Coach Donaldson. You got Mel Swanson saying he brings out the best of every player. You just kind of get the sense that this is a guy that is pushing them to be their best selves, and not for him, but for each other, which... That's a coach that I want in my corner, and that's a coach.
What happened?
Just a shelf just kind of toppled over there. It's fine. It's fine. But that's a coach I want in my corner, and that's one that I'm afraid of disappointing.
Nailed it, babe.
So Coach Lauren advances. And now we get into the battle of the English, Dutch, I suppose, but is in charge of the senior England team, Serena Wiegman and Emma Hayes.
This one's hard.
This is hard. This is one of those hard first round matchups where you're like, I want to see it later, but this is the draw. Serena Wiegman, stern teacher. She's got that stern teacher look who will occasionally smile, and when she does, it's the best time ever.
Oh, it's the best day.
The best day. The Euros post-win conference was spectacular.
I want to do a counter side of this of, like, which coaches do I want to make proud of me?
Ha!
Of, like, who, because like, getting that smile would be the reward.
I do think it plays into
it absolutely does.
Into the decision. This is hard.
I think I pick Serena. And that's a tough choice for me because I genuinely do want to just follow Emma Hayes around and study everything she does. I've got a little chip on my shoulder after the Chelsea Arsenal game the other day and whatever the heck went on there. That was weird to me and kind of threw the vibes off for a minute. I'll recover. But I've also just seen less of Serena in that regard, but also knowing how much she is loved by those players,
mm-hmm,
and her commitment to that team, I think is really something. There's also just having a little bit of age on Emma Hayes, mm-hmm. makes me fear her disappointment a little bit more.
Yeah, I think with that matchup, you kind of, you look at Emma Hayes and you go, I mean, this is a coach I definitely want to go to a pub with.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's a different energy. So if I'm factoring that into this matchup, I'm more inclined to choose Serena Wiegman. I am interested to see how Emma Hayes does once she's on the international level with the US Women's National Team. I'm glad she walked back her statement on it's fine if players date. I think she had there are some questions were asked of her past time in Chicago that was detailed in Alex Scott's book. Not her best work, but I think I'm more scared of disappointing Serena in light of all of these things.
Yeah. I think that's the one. I think Emma Hayes is more likely to get frustrated with me than disappointed.
Yes.
And I think that's the other side. So I think it's Serena.
Up next, we have an interesting matchup. We have Pia Sundhage, who has coached
Haga
Sundhage. Against I think Casey you do the Stoney. Whole thing. And Coach Pia, she's coached at the international level for three different teams.
Yep.
Which at least and has played an instrument with Marta. That's impressive accomplishments. Casey Stoney is still like a young coach figuring out her style and her way. And I think what she's started in San Diego has been pretty successful not bad for was that her second gig?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I, when it comes to a cooler sitter on the sideline, I don't want to be the subject of her ire.
Yeah.
Again, stern British lady.
But yeah, I kind of want to argue with her about who wins what, or like who's the champion of the season, because that's fun.
Yeah. She does bring that like stern lady energy, but is also kind of a different era than previous generations of stern lady. So I do think there is a bit more of a softness there, and like not necessarily in a bad way, just in like a more understanding way. Pia is interesting to me.
She's a real wrench in this one, because I almost can't imagine her being disappointed.
She has such I don't want to say like a, it's not like an uncaring, like I feel like she's unbothered by.
Yeah, I think she'll get over it. I think she wouldn't let whatever I did upset her. Like, it's not that she's not like, oh yeah, I'm sad that happened, or I'm, you know, disappointed that happened. But I can't imagine her translating it to, I am disappointed in you as a human.
Yeah, no, she's got a gig at the pub at in a half an hour after this game.
It's not a gig. It just happens. It's an organic sing-along that happens. That's why I'm not, like, it doesn't hit for me. A little bit of like, I'm just not worried about it. For me, I do think it's Casey Stoney.
Yeah.
And I am now realizing that you have neglected our other cooler sitter, Laura Harvey, in this layout. That's who would have done it. Like, I think that would have been a ringer for all of them, because she's cool and she pulls off like stern teacher. She can do both. And
yeah,
it's maybe good you didn't include her, because I think she would have run away with it.
Yeah, I figured there can only be one cooler sitter in the bracket. She's definitely an honorable mention.
Casey Stoney has, like, she's the senior on the team when you're a freshman, and I want her like me.
Yeah.
And, like, because she's just that much older than me.
Uh-huh. She's the captain.
Like, yeah. Not even. She's best friends with the captain for me. Sure. Like, and I want her to like me. And she, I don't know if she will. I don't know. I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try so hard. Okay, we got to run through these because I'm fading fast.
We're back to basketball. It goes quicker after the first round.
Now that we've done the, yeah.
We've got Pat Summitt versus Tara Vanderveer.
Pat.
Yeah, I think Pat just has
presence.
As one of, like, the OG stern ladies of basketball, I think she, like she's someone you're watching on TV as a kid, you're just like, that lady's wearing pants, that's amazing. Like,
had that feeling, but I think it's also because probably looked at any lady not wearing pants and was like, what's wrong with you?
I think she's just such a legend of the sport. And has such a lore about her, especially now, you know, that she's passed, that, she's a legend, an icon, bigger than the game type of status.
And is also 5'11".
Yeah, also big lady.
5'11", big lady energy. She would look down at me, and she wore heels. I really respect a tall lady that wears heels because they want to.
Good on you.
I really don't like it when women are like, and this is anyone's individual choice, whatever. But, like, when you're like, well, I don't want to be too tall. Nah, be too tall. Be tall. Wear your heels. If that's what you want to wear. And crush them. Yeah. Pat Summitt.
And we head over to the next matchup of the basketball bracket. We have Cheryl Miller versus Dawn Staley.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, it's just two very different approaches. And two people
it's
that
Cheryl
I...
Cheryl Miller.
Really? It's Dawn Staley for me.
This is our first diversion.
Once you get to the second round, it happens. I know Cheryl Miller will razz the bejesus out of me, and I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't want to be the subject of it. But... for the humor, I could survive. I could survive being because there's a, you know, like if you're on a team, you always have like that inside joke that pops up every like 3 months, and then everyone's just like ah. It would hurt being that punchline, but it's.
Oh, I think it's cute that you think that's coming up once, like, every month. I think it's coming up weekly, if not daily.
Well, that's it. It starts weekly, then it lays low for a while, then it comes back up. It has a beautiful cycle.
No, I don't think with Cheryl. I think Cheryl's in your face, guarding you in practice, like she's your teammate. And when she blocks you, she reminds you of how you disappointed her before.
And that, just...
yeah, it hurt. She's too funny for me. Also, having seen her on, like play against Queen Latifah is just, like, that's just a level in my brain that I can't get to.
Yeah. I'm still of, like, I can't, I cannot, like, I try to, like, fish through my mind of what it would take to disappoint Dawn Staley, and I don't know if it exists, but I don't want to find out.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
That's fair.
To be clear, this is just mine.
Back to soccer. We have Tony DiCicco against Lauren Donaldson.
Unfair. I am Tony. I'm sorry, Lauren. I don't know you that well yet. But I can imagine Lauren's, and I've never obviously been in a room. Well, I might have been once. I don't know if a stadium counts as a room with Tony DiCicco, but just knowing the man, the myth, the legend that is Tony, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I think Coach Donaldson
we'll get there, I think.
Yeah. Again, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. It's like he, like, Reggae Girls was his, like, first international job, and now he's leading a team from the bottom of the NWSL table to the top. And,
to the know, top!
To be continued, obviously, but I look forward to his work the rest of the season and the rest of his career. Our second matchup is Serena Wiegman versus Casey Stoney.
Wiegman.
Yep.
This is where age
yep,
and experience comes
yep.
in.
Yep.
I think, like, I desperately want Casey Stoney to like me, but I also, she's too close to being a peer that if she did become disappointed in me, I would get, like, ruffled and kind of write it off and be like, whatever. Whereas Serena has a gravitas, has experience that I can't deny, that she's probably right about whatever I did to disappoint her, and I just regret it for forever. So, yeah.
Stern lady.
Lady. She's got the glasses, too.
She does.
I mean, yeah.
We are now in our final four. Okay. We have Coach Pat Summitt versus Dawn Staley / Cheryl Miller. This is where it gets difficult.
I abstain?
You have to pick one because you have to pick champion.
I don't want to disappoint any of them.
I can't pick because I don't want to disappoint any of them.
I'm sorry to whoever I hurt and whatever I did.
I don't think
it's really fair.
It's
we're all being honest, to put either of these, like, coaches who are no longer with us in this.
Sure.
Because no one can compete, really. Like,
no.
There's no. Ugh, on either
I think,
side.
I think Dawn Staley will have, like, already has the beginnings of a Pat Summitt career, and I think,
oh, absolutely,
she will likely surpass her and climb the table of coaches who have the most wins and have gathered the most championships. But I think Pat Summitt is the reason. There's climb.
We're all here.
We're all here for Pat Summitt.
I think Pat Summitt wins. Like, unless, yeah, I don't think there's any way around that.
And I think Dawn Staley will get there. And I think it's really,
I do too.
It's wild to think that, like, she hasn't been at South Carolina for that long. Like, when you're looking at college coaching careers, you're looking at decades. Like, Gino Auriemma's been doing this since 1985. He's,
and boy, is he tired. No, you're right. I think Dawn's legend will only grow as time goes on,
which is going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, Cheryl Miller in that fight it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
I am, again, it brings, like, you're the senior a little bit energy rather than the coach. I know she has coached. I don't want to neglect that. But I don't really know what she was like as a coach, so I only think player, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Pat Summitt just towers over all of us, doesn't she? Like, emotionally.
And,
like,
literally.
And literally. I mean, does she tower over? How tall is Cheryl Miller? Now I gotta Google this. Stop making me Google
while
how tall people are.
While you Google it, we have Tony DiCicco versus Serena Wiegman. I'm assuming this is pretty easy for you.
I don't know if it is. Because, again, like, Tony was so long ago. He, like Pia in a way,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine him being disappointed in me in a way.
Yeah.
He also coached just, like, a lot of teams that just won all the time. So I'm like,
I don't know if he's ever been disappointed.
We'll ask Tony.
Well,
or Anthony. Like, hey, was your dad ever disappointed in you? Tell us about that. Is that a fun time to way to walk down that memory lane?
Sure.
Miller is 6'2".
Woo!
Yeah. See, if we just go domineering, See, but then we go back into the gender thing of, I women being disappointed in me hurts me as a woman.
Fair. That brings us to the final showdown of Pat Summitt versus Serena Wiegman.
It's Pat Summitt.
Yeah, I think Serena Wiegman is another one that is like she'll have her like Pat Summitt of soccer career where she leads teams to World Cup finals and will probably win one at some point.
I would argue that that doesn't happen on a national team level.
Really?
I think it happens on a club level. I think it's an Arsene Wenger. It's a
interesting.
Like, I think that it's the college basketball coach in the U.S. is similar to the club soccer coach in the U.K.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, like, national team jobs are just weird. They're weird and they're difficult, and you're dealing with just a lot of bureaucracy and players from all over the place, and you don't get to build over time the same way. Yeah, I go Pat, though.
We have,
again, she is not only one of, like, you know, a legend of the game from a coaching perspective, but people loved her, like, beloved. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, that legend, and I want it to stay that way, you know?
Yeah.
I just want her to like me.
we wouldn't want to disappoint any of the
also people. A good accent.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we wouldn't want to disappoint any of the people in this bracket, but
except Kim Mulkey,
which we already do. Pat Summitt, you are the one that we most do not want to disappoint.
Yeah,
congratulations. We would rather die a million deaths than disappoint you. Taking out the trash. Fuck you, Corbin Albert. You know what you did.
We don't need to
go into that anymore.
I do want to say thank you to Christy Mewis and Lynn Williams for talking about it, because
it's which Mewis?
Sorry, Sam Mewis. Jeez, brain. Hey, Christy, what do you think about it? No, I'm not too worried about it. No, Sam Mewis and Lynn Williams for talking about it. Christy, give her the cold shoulder for a while. Maybe for forever. I don't know. Just make out in front of her and make her really uncomfortable. Sam, get in here.
Sam Kerr, we didn't bother you.
No. For our sportsmanship of the week, we have a new baby. Ella Mazur and her wife, Babette Peter, had a baby. And it's just a cutie. It's just the cutest little thing. And
he's the cutest little boy. He's so cute.
If you hop on Instagram, you can see the latest arrival to the Chicago Red Stars family. And that's all we got. That's all we got for this week.
That's a lot for this week.
That's a lot.
Given this morning, we weren't sure if we were going to do this today.
And look at us. We did it.
We did it. Look at us go.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Football is Wife. I'm Leslie Ryder with my wife, Emily Anderson.
That's me.
That's her. And leave us a rating. Drop us a review. We love those things. And make sure you come back, because we'll be here.
Bye.
Bye.